Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of all of today's topics. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely. Our topic is Multifamily Unplugged, Real Talk, Real Solutions. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans who, in my opinion, are the top influencers in multifamily industry and then top thought leaders. Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Mike Brewer, Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. Welcome, folks.
Thank you.
This is a special episode for us. This is our 300th episode. And as you both know, I contacted you many weeks ago to say that I would like to have you as the guest for this auspicious occasion that we have here, because you are two of my favorite guests that we have on the show. And the one thing about the two of you is you always bring the receipts. You give us some great thoughts and insights on whatever the topic is. And Stephanie provided a list of topics that are kind of crucial to multifamily operations right now, and we've divided them up into the four segments. So I want to start out with one of the big topics. Every time I go to a conference, Mike, you and I just were in Las Vegas at the Blueprint Real Estate Conference there, and a lot of talk was about this, as well as at Apartmentalize. And we've done several shows that hit on this topic, which is centralization. So I'll start out with you, Stephanie. Talk a little bit about centralization and what you're seeing.
You know, that's the buzzword. Everywhere we go for this past easily 10 months, if not more, has been a focus on centralization. And many called this the trend of the year. And I could see that it is a big buzzword, but I have to tell you, centralization isn't new. In fact, it's been around for quite some time. For me personally, I experienced centralization back in 2009. I worked for United Dominion Realty, and we were one of the first companies to do centralization model for both maintenance and leasing and sales, so and accounting as well. So, you know, things have obviously changed over the course of the years. We've learned what to do, what not to do, and we're still learning. But I think the biggest thing for centralization that most people should know is it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. In fact, when you talk about centralization or you ask operators or even suppliers in the market about it, a lot of times you're going to get different answers because it truly means different things to different companies. But ultimately, centralization is about meeting customers where they are and providing that instant gratification that they desire. You know, when we looked at trends and challenges for this year in 2023, it was the number one challenge was operational efficiencies. You know, 76% of owners said the most challenging activity was reducing cost, finding high quality employees, effectively keeping track of projects, labor-intensive processes, all of that. And really, that all goes back to centralization and the why behind companies wanting to move towards that model.
Yeah, and Mike, I know you've looked into centralization a lot for Radco. Tell us a little bit about what you see are the kind of the pros and the cons.
Yeah, definitely. And first of all, congratulations on 300 episodes.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I think the thing for us as we started down the path, and I would echo what Stephanie said in terms of this not being a new concept. I was with Equity Residential many years ago, and we might have been the second mover, but we were certainly in the early innings of trying to do centralization. I think the differentiating factor today is that the technology is caught up with what we thought were good practices and procedures back then. So I think you can actually do centralization in a more meaningful way today versus back then, not to suggest that it didn't work. But I think the key lesson that I would give everybody is make sure that your team is fully on board. Make sure, to Stephanie's point, you have a pure definition of what centralization means. Is that a physical team that sits in a different physical location, or is that just simply providing efficiencies in terms of policies, procedures, and disciplines in your organization? But make sure your team is on board. And to me, the right way to do that is employ a roadshow. Go out to every single site that you intend to put centralization in place and help people fully understand what it is, what it's about, and the why behind the what. In a way, those sort of concerns that people will have, like, are you going to take my job? Or is this going to change the way that I do business such that I don't want to be with your organization anymore? But I think that's the key lesson that we learned. We thought, oh, we'll just do all this stuff. And we forgot that there are people that are impacted by those changes that you make, you know, from a corporate level. And we had a little bit of pushback in the early innings trying to implement our centralization effort.
All right. Great thoughts. We want to move on to the next topic, and we've got about 5 minutes left in the segment. Mike, I want to start with you because I know we've had a discussion about this on Multifamily Matters before, and that's fraud. Talk a little about what you see with that.
I will tell you, I sit in the city that leads the league in fraud in Atlanta, Georgia, apparently. I've read this, and allegedly we lead the league. So this is an area, it's just interesting to me, and it impacts us in so many ways, whether it be fraudulent documents or IDs, or the most alarming story that I heard, this didn't happen to us directly, but here in Atlanta, apparently there's a syndicate or a ring of bad actors that will actually look at job postings at your property management company, and they will get hired into a position of influence, whether it be in leasing or assistant or even property management roles, and they will actually administer the fraud internally processes and your procedures. So even if you think yourself protected from a front side and a prospect and an applicant process, you could have people working internal to your organization that are committing the fraud. The other alarming story that I heard, again, didn't happen to us, but these same rings will move into your community. They will qualify on the front side under false identity. And then at some point in the lease, in the middle of the night, they will move out of the community and they will take along with them your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your stove, and other appliances, the high value stuff out, I guess, out on the market or on the street. So those two things I think you have to watch out for as it relates to fraud.
Yeah. Stephanie, we've got about 3 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about what you're hearing.
So as Atlanta is, let's say, king of the fraud, here in Richmond, Virginia, we are best known for evictions. Many people know we had a book and a very famous case study presented about poverty and evictions and how owners and operators were doing very bad things. So, yeah, not the best things to be known for, Mike, right. But I'm right there with you. You know, fraud is something that we've been watching for many years now. And in fact, the pandemic, that was one of the things that kind of hurt everyone, was it escalated, especially synthetic fraud, in creating these unidentified identifications, which was a big deal. But, you know, fraud affects everyone, and I think one of the most interesting things that when I was researching was really looking at why people do fraud. And of course, there's a lot of bad people in the world, or the bad actors, as Mike called them. But really, you know, there's two main driving factors behind fraud. It's the ease in which fake documents can be obtained online, and that helps, you know, you can get so many things easier than you could many years ago. The other thing is that rising rents, the pressure that puts on prospective renters to stretch, quote unquote, on their applications. You know, when we have standards as apartment operators, we say, you know, you must make three times the monthly rent to qualify to live here. Well, people want to live in a nice area or they want to have a nice home. And oftentimes they may not meet that qualification or their expenses are too high and inflation is affecting them and so forth and so on. And it really causes them to want to lie on their application. So the number one thing I always tell operators with fraud is you got to stop it as quick as you can. You know, they estimate a cost around $2.8 million per year for just a 3,000 unit portfolio. So that is a huge expense for owners to incur. So rather than letting people in the door and because, you know, heads on beds and that saying of getting units occupied, really focusing on how do you balance the quick application approval, you know, that instant gratification we talked about with centralization, but also balancing that with compliance to stop the fraud early before the prospect actually becomes a resident.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to stop it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters. Because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing an important topic. And that is Multifamily Unplugged, real talk, real solutions. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who, in my opinion, are the top multifamily industry thought leaders, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communications and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Mike Brewer, Chief Operating Officer at Radco Residential. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we talked in the first segment about centralization and fraud, and we're going to start out this segment talking about one of the major topics I hear a lot about from guests on the show and people I run into in the industry, and that is retaining talent retention. Stephanie, what are you hearing on that?
Well, it's definitely a top concern for everyone on all sides of the business. You've got people who are out looking for jobs, and oftentimes it's not just about pay. You know, one of the most interesting thoughts that I had heard in research really concerning employees and their willingness to quit their job because of their unhappiness, to not have another job lined up, and in the economy that we're in, to be able to do that. This is the first time I've seen that happening over and over again, and kudos to people that are actually able to do that. But that just shows it's worth the risk to them. They are that unhappy for a multitude of reasons at their job. And so that is a problem in the business where we are people-facing business. We're taking care of people's homes, which we know is the most personal thing that we could do. It really is crucial that if we're talking about site teams and we're having high turnover rates, how does that then you know, apply to increase in turnover for our residents. So I think some of the things to really just keep top of mind is employee engagement has to be in your business plan. It has to be top of mind for your company, not just this year, but as you're moving on. I foresee that talent retention and hiring are going to continue for the next 3 to 5 years to really be a top concern for employers. Of course, we know managing people is always the hardest part of what we do in our business. So I don't ever imagine it going away, but I do think that it will continue to be a top concern. And I think things you really need to think about is how do you engage your employees? Flexibility, PTO, benefits, obviously higher wages. Those are all great, but also think about opportunities for growth, career pathing, incentives to your teams to help them thrive. And that can be in the form of education and training and so forth. And I'm not going to beat this dead horse today, but I will say this because I have to say it every time. The number one way to excel in all those areas is you have to ask your teams. You've got to survey your employees. You've got to find out what's important. Even the employees that are leaving, you've got to do those exit interviews and find that crucial information and then use that data to make meaningful decisions to really impact your employee engagement moving forward.
Yeah, Mike, as an operator in multifamily space, what tips and tricks can you offer to our listeners about talent retention?
Yeah, Josh, Stephanie, you nailed every one of the major points. And I think if I were to wrap that up, we have an underlying thesis at Radco that our organization sets in place to serve the people that serve it. That is a fancy way of saying that if we serve our team members very well, then by extension, they're going to serve our customer very well, our business partners very well, our investors very well. So to all of the points that Stephanie made, if we really drive our business with that understanding that when you come to work and you cross that threshold into a leasing office or into a corporate office, you're not hanging your problems on a neat little coat hanger that you leave outside. You're bringing those things along with you into the workplace. And in my head, if you create a psychologically safe space for people to show up and be their self holistically, and you're serving them well, then again, by extension, you're going to get your customers served well. I think to one of Stephanie's other points, your team member has to have a seat at the table, right? And so every Monday morning, we have what we call a strategic thinking team meeting. And that is just four team leaders at Radco that get together, actually five. But we have a vacant seat at the table where we literally, hey, pretend like there is a team member sitting there in that chair. And to Stephanie's point about surveys, we take the survey data that we deploy through Swift Bunny. That's just a company that we use, but we take all that data and we literally sometimes look at that chair as if that's a team member, and we read those comments and then we take action on those things that are reasonable that we can actually take action on and create results from, so that we have that employee's voice in the room always.
That's great tips. And I want to continue in this line, and Stephanie, I'll go to you with the fact that one of the key positions and the key roles on site where people are having issues in hiring folks is in the maintenance role. Talk a little bit about what you're hearing there.
You know, maintenance, it's hard. We are living in a world right now where there's constant talk about remote work. Now, how do you think that applies to our essential maintenance team members? That has to be difficult for them to say, okay, I know I'm essential, but I am not only don't have the ability to work remotely or from home, but I'm also entering apartments where there is some risk, there is some differences that separate them. On top of the technical ability that we need them to have, it is a job that is necessary. Can be overwhelming. And so obviously it shouldn't come as a surprise that, you know, the turnover rates are higher on the maintenance side. And I think that that is really tough because obviously we know maintenance sells our renewals. People develop connections with their maintenance team and they trust them because they're entering their apartment. And they are, you know, if you have great satisfaction with your resident as it pertains to your maintenance team, then that there's a great possibility that that resident is going to renew. And keeping that top of mind, we are competing right now with our maintenance team with other companies, and those companies are offering better things than we can offer at times. Maybe not as much on call or no on call at all. They might not require as much experience, and they do have more on the job training, but their pay is also higher. Our pay is not necessarily always on par with what our requirements are, especially in that technical ability. One of the things that I think is important to point out for those who like the data side of things, Paul, you and I have talked about this many times before, is after the pandemic hit, you know, maintenance positions with turnover was exceeding 55%, which was huge. And so put that into context with just CEL surveys tells you that there is only a 22% turnover for all industries. And then NAA tells us that there had been a turnover of 33%. Now they're saying technicians alone have a 40% turnover rate. Mm. Post-pandemic, it's high. That means you have positions, you have openings. What do we do?
Yeah, Mike, what have you found?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've often thought that this is the non-sexy side of the business, right? When you have to show up every day, you show up in someone else's environment, and you're doing work that isn't necessarily work that anyone would want to do. And how do you make that compelling as an organization? And I think the way that we attempt to do it is to engage our maintenance team members in the same sort of outside of the job activities that maybe our leasing consultants enjoy or our system managers, or we take them off site and celebrate them with Topgolf or other activities that help them feel like they are a part of the bigger organizations. A lot of times maintenance just gets lost in the shuffle, so to speak, in that, hey, they're there, they show up, they do a piece of our business, and we don't really recognize them and celebrate them like we do. And I think to Stephanie's point, I think not only are we competing with other industries, but if you think about the development and the delivery of units into the marketplace in Atlanta, I think we have 30,000 units over the last couple of years. The number of positions that are available today on the maintenance side of the business are just in advance of anything that we've seen over the last, say, 5 to 7 years. And so we're not only competing with other industries, but now we're competing with just a huge supply of jobs. So we're doing everything that we can to retain and or hire and retain maintenance. I think it starts in-house, right? You got to really take care of the people that are here first and foremost. And then when you attract people and you get them into your system, you got to take care of them equally well.
All right. We are going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to our multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Unplugged, Real Talk, Real Solutions. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are top multifamily industry thought leaders, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Mike Brewer, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegion, a lead provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So we've talked about centralization. We've talked about fraud. We've talked about talent retention and hiring maintenance folks and the challenges with that. Let's talk about another topic that has gotten a lot of comments and people working on throughout the industry, and that is human trafficking. Stephanie, what do you tell us what the situation is with that in multifamily?
And great time to start talking about it, as January is right around the corner, and that is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. You know, 4.5 million people throughout the world are victims of human trafficking, and it makes a lot of money. $99 billion is estimated annually that is produced through sex trafficking. And a lot of people know that this is a passion of mine, educating others on human trafficking. I work for a great organization, that Grace Hill, who partners with I Empathize, and really trying to combat human trafficking and the awareness of it. And I really feel like our team should understand that they have so much ability and power to be able to bring change, because they are experiencing people at their most vulnerable times and their homes, in their lifestyles, and to be able to see what's happening and be a part of the solution. You know, I always like to mention that multifamily alone, we're not going to solve the problem of human trafficking alone, but the industry can make a vital contribution towards reaching a goal. And that comes through providing better training and understanding of the issues and the signs and what to look for. You know, we talked about maintenance previously and how they're in people's homes. What an opportunity for them to be the eyes and ears of the community and be able to see things that could possibly save someone's life. And I really think that that's huge. And if you don't take anything else away from, you know, the training with human trafficking, is that we see what the media portrays of it, especially in mainstream media. I always think of the movie Taken, and I love those movies. I love Liam Neeson, don't get me wrong. But what is portrayed in those movies is not an accurate depiction of what really does happen in human trafficking. And there's so many myths that we can debunk, you know, when we look at the training on human trafficking and our ability to make a difference in multifamily. And in fact, some states like Florida have now mandated it, where it is a requirement of not only hospitality employees, but those working on site in the apartment industry to be trained within 90 days of getting into that position. And that's how strongly we feel that this is going to continue across the U.S. to be mandated training in the years to come.
Yeah, Mike, how is it touching operators that you know of?
Yeah, I don't know that I could speak specifically to how it's touching, but I do agree that it is really your company creating collaborations with law enforcement or even nonprofits to come in and do that education and create that awareness, not only with team members in terms of identifying, but also the community at large. So I know that we have hosted in our, you know, leasing centers those type of awareness campaigns where we bring in outside agencies, law enforcement specifically, just to do an educational seminar just for those. These might be things that you need to look for. And hey, by the way, if you see something, it's better to say something, even if it turns out to not be a thing. It's better to be safe rather than sorry. So I think not only that, I think there is an element on the screening side. If we go back to fraud, if it's very, very important, not just from a financial perspective to qualify people to move into your community, but just this bad, shady behavior that goes on, trying to figure out how to screen for that on the front side helps and assists in keeping out your community. So we emphasize that point on the qualification side as much as we do the training and awareness things that we partner with other agencies to do our education.
Yeah, and Stephanie, that's a good point. Obviously, someone's going to fraudulently rent an apartment. There's a chance that they could also be doing something nefarious inside of the unit.
Absolutely.
So what is part of the application process as far as when you're trying to train people on how to recognize a situation that could be human trafficking?
It could be. And, you know, it really goes back to what I mentioned before, really being actively involved in the prospective resident experience as they're applying, ensuring that the information is not fake as best as we can, checking out those identifications, social security numbers, running background checks, whatever it is that your company has a policy in place to do. You want to ensure that those things are done. You know, one of the things that we know with human trafficking victims is oftentimes they do not have identification. So that would mean that the occupant would be not listed on the lease agreement, which obviously would be a violation of their lease. But also any interactions you have with them, typically they don't make eye contact. They don't necessarily know what area that they're in. They can't always give you their name or other identifying information. And, you know, that would all be necessary to achieve during the initial move-in process. So I think just making sure that communication is really effective here. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you see something, say something. You know, you can report it. You report things anonymously and let the authorities check things out. Don't ever put yourself in a situation where you're trying to be the hero. You are a hero in yourself doing everything that you do each and every day. And just reporting the information and letting the experts handle it is going to be key.
All right, we've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment, and I do want to touch on another topic that really has kind of taken the industry by storm, and not just our industry, but other industries, and that is AI, artificial intelligence. Mike, what are you hearing about that, and what are you seeing?
I guess what am I not hearing right now? About AI. I think the thing that excites me most, and this is a little bit of, I guess, forecasting on my part, but or visioning, I really do see a day where we can actually use triggers like a notice to vacate in a system to trigger an entire workflow that doesn't involve a human. So you could, a consumer can put in a notice to vacate, and that will create a cinematic experience for a specific unit looking a specific direction in Atlanta, Georgia, and it can deliver that precisely at the moment when somebody in Idaho is looking for that very specific apartment, and it can facilitate that entire transaction start to finish to include the application, the identification of the documents, or and right on through to the lease application and the lease itself, and deliver a digital code so somebody could walk into an apartment and never have a human involved.
Wow.
That is sort of the forecast for AI in my mind.
Wow. And Stephanie, I know you're involved a lot with AI. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in different areas.
Well, you know, I love what Mike just said. You know, really, it's all about that user experience and what their preferences are. And I do love that technology plays a huge role in that until it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I really want to point out is the beauty here between AI and HI. So really taking that artificial intelligence and leveraging the synergy of that with human intelligence. And really, when you couple those together, you have the ability to unlock this amazing ROI potential that I don't think everyone is quite invested in just yet. But AI has the opportunity to really improve all the experiences. And the way I see things is, you know, from your on-site teams get very mundane tasks that weigh them down day in and day out. And it's tasks that are necessary. Everything from answering phones and emails to taking resident requests to, you know, listening to resident stories and walking apartments and everything in between. And I think about what could AI do to couple that with just enhancing the entire resident resident journey. How is it that we can provide the best possible service without overwhelming the staff? Because that's what happens, is they're constantly pulled between, you know, it's that game of rope where we're pulling back and forth with them, but they want to be able to take care of the residents and give that amazing experience, but also be able to produce data and reporting and all of those administrative tasks. And so coupling those things together, I feel like it's going to be huge. And I mean, not just for the on-site teams, but for me as a supplier, you know, Grace Hill has really embraced AI and utilizing different programs and really just putting things into place that allow us to do things a little bit faster so that we can really put more thought into meaning into other things that we want to do that just enhances the experience for everyone.
Yeah, I think we've just kind of seen the tip of the iceberg with this. I think it's going to really take over a lot of tasks down the road for people that probably didn't want to do the task to begin with, mundane and so forth. So, all right, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be right back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing an important topic, or many important topics, to the multifamily industry. And our topic today is Multifamily Unplugged, Real Talk, Real Solutions. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are top industry thought leaders, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Mike Brewer, Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible: Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management; DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents; Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we've got about 12 minutes in this segment, and I wanted to, we've got three big topics to talk about, and I know the first one on the list, personal branding, Stephanie, is something that's near and dear to you. Tell us a little bit about how multifamily folks can do use personal branding to their advantage.
You know, one of the things that I have always loved about the multifamily industry is the people. I think the people really are what make it special and unique. And what better way to showcase that than with your personal brand? And oftentimes people get a little concerned when they hear the word personal brand because they think to themselves, what is my brand? And they will oftentimes connect their personal brand with the organization that they work for. And I'm not going to tell you that that's right or wrong. I think that there's a good balance or blend, as I like to say, between the two. But ultimately, I think that each person should have their own brand. And if it can happen organically, it's always best. And the way to think about your personal branding is what matters to you. You'll hear people say, what is your why? Outside of a paycheck, why do you go to work every single day? Why do you do what you do each and every day? What brings you joy? What are you passionate about? And start thinking about those things, putting them together in a list, and that really starts to encompass who you are as a person. And what I love is with personal branding, I have seen so much, changing in LinkedIn specifically with where everybody, you know, was all about work, work, work. And I decided back in 2019 that I was really going to start showcasing a side of me that I was super passionate about because I felt like to know me in the business space was also to know me personally. And that was that I was a mom. And that was, a driving factor behind my why and sharing my children with people on the internet. Now, I know there are mixed feelings about, you know, taking your personal brand and sharing it on the internet, but I think that it is very powerful to showcase who you are. Does it equate to job opportunities in the future? Of course it could. And I think that's why sometimes employers are a little bit reluctant to invest in personal branding or to really promote it for their employees because they think, well, what am I going to do if my employees leave? But really, I feel like companies have this opportunity to tap into this very powerful resource. You know, think about the world we're in, influencers, brand ambassadors, employee advocates. Like, why not use your employees to have a voice to put them out in the marketplace as thought leaders? And it really is beneficial to your company brand just as much as their personal brand.
Yeah, and Mike, I mean, personal branding for you personally, I mean, you've been doing a blog for years and a video podcast as well. I mean, that's something that certainly is a form of personal branding. What do you see in the industry?
Yeah, I think if I go back to the time, I think in 2005, 2006, when I started writing a blog, blog sounded like you were sort of clearing your throat. But I started doing that as a function of getting into community on Twitter. I know it's called X now, but at the time it was called Twitter. And I started engaging with several industry leaders that I really admired. And it was really, in the beginning, just my effort to get to know people and to gain and glean an education from those folks. But I think, and then I tripped over that into a personal brand in the way of deciding to take some of that content that I was gleaning from those thought leaders at the time and creating a blog out of that. So when I started writing about the industry, I could take those thoughts that I learned in late night Twitter sessions and sort of flesh out my thoughts real time and in the market and get feedback from it. And then when a video started to become a real thing in the mass market, I decided, you know, I'm a shy person by nature. So I knew that to be a leader in any space, you would have to sort of sharpen presentation skills. Being in front of a camera was intimidating. So I thought, well, I'll just set up my iPhone and I'll start shooting a few videos and I'll share them out on YouTube and I'll take the arrows in the fruit that's thrown my way as a way of getting better at that particular art so that when I did show up in a space where I had to give public presentations, I'd be better at it. So all that being said, I think I kind of stumbled into the personal brand thing because that content started to hit out in the marketplace and people started to engage with it. But I think to Stephanie's point, I think companies that don't really leverage the power of their team members' personal brands, they're really missing a potential opportunity to attract talent to the organization, and potentially, frankly, consumers and residents to your apartment buildings, because people are out there in the social spaces and they're paying attention to those brands that have social presence, either by way of the company or by way of team members that are out there.
All right, we've got about 6.5 minutes left in this segment, and we've got two more topics that we want to cover. One is exclusive language. Let's take about 2 minutes and talk about that. Stephanie, you want to talk about that?
Oh, gosh, no pressure, because I could speak forever on this. Inclusive language, you know, we're seeing a lot out in the marketplace, not just in our industry, but across all industries. How do we make people feel like they are a part of something much bigger? How do we welcome them into our space, residents and employees alike, and make them feel like they belong? And that really helps them to be their most authentic selves in the workplace. And something so easy yet still difficult at times is really thinking about the words that we use. You know, words do matter. You know, when you're growing up and you hear the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, you know, words will hurt you. It does hurt, and helps you to feel more included when the language is used appropriately. Let me give you a quick example. Constantly people like to say, hey guys, which is no big deal. You know, I don't take it personal. I'm not a guy myself, but how do we use language that makes people all feel included? And a lot of times our intentions are pure gold when we're speaking, but unfortunately people can take that differently. And again, we're in a world now where there's use of pronouns, and we have to be very cognizant of how we're addressing people so that they do feel like they can be themselves. And how does this apply to apartments? Well, you know, when I did a search through Google, when I was just searching apartment communities across the U.S., I could not believe how many websites talked about walking distance, talked about walking in for a tour, we accept walk-ins, or, you know, a walk score, all of those things. What about those people who don't have the ability to walk? Mm. It's a simple thing that seems like, oh my gosh, Stephanie, like we didn't mean it in that manner. No, typically you wouldn't, and you would never want to make people feel excluded. But when you think about your language and really prioritize it, it's really going to make a difference in how your employees and your residents and potential residents really view your company, your personal branding, and just your space in general.
All right. And Mike, I'll let you handle this next one, which is work and life balance, which is burnout. I mean, we talk a lot about burnout.
Yeah. So I may have a different take on work-life balance than most. And I do argue with my wife about this. not that I'm right, but I tend to look at work-life balance over a very long continuum. So there are seasons in your life where work does dominate, and in that maybe is in the early innings of building a career where you're going to spend a lot more time trying to build that career than you are potentially in other areas of your life. And that is a trade-off that you make. But then there are seasons in your life where you might have to pull back from work and or you intentionally pull back from work to focus on other areas of your life. And so if you look at it from, you know, a 30-year timeline, you may have work-life balance over that long bit of time, but I think to believe that you're going to work out work-life balance in a short period of time over a course of a year or a couple of years, I just think that's not a thing. It really is a question of what trade-offs am I going to make in my life, or I'm willing to make in my life to dedicate and emphasize something over another thing.
Stephanie, you want to take a minute and give your input?
You know, managing people in homes, it's not easy. And if we aren't taking care of ourselves and our employees with really intentionally prioritizing our mental well-being and physical health, we can't take care of others, period. You cannot pour from an empty cup. So when you think about it and what you're doing in life, I totally agree with Mike. You know, you've got to prioritize things. You have to figure out what's most important to you at that time. And I think just really providing a lot of support to your teams is going to be crucial here, because we know from the pandemic that burnout happened and it continues to happen. How are we taking care of our teams, and how are we taking care of ourselves? That's going to be key here.
All right. Well, I want to give each of you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about what's going on with Grace Hill and with Radco. And also, if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do that? Also, thank you guys so much. Sorry, Stephanie. Thank you both so much for for being on this 300th episode. It was a great pleasure to have you both on. But go ahead, Stephanie, tell everybody how they can reach you and what's going on with Grace Hill.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I feel super honored to be alongside Mike and you, Paul. So 300th episode, major kudos to you and Multifamily Matters for everything you're doing and the impact that you're making on the industry.
Thank you.
As for me, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably the easiest way, just searching Stephanie Anderson, and it will come right up for you. I love messages. I love being able to engage with people, and that's the easiest way. Of course, if you do like email, sanderson@gracehill.com is going to be an easy form for you. Grace Hill is doing amazing things. We have some really big announcements coming up with some new products, new things that we're offering, and I can't spill the beans, as hard as that is for me to not do. So just please stay tuned to Grace Hill, following us on social media in the next few weeks. A lot more to come on that. We also just had our Impact Heroes, where we found three of the industry's best that are giving back in their community, doing amazing things, and helped fund their charities of their choice to be able to further promote the impact that they're having. So congratulations most to Karen over at Harbor Group for winning the Impact Hero Grand Prize this year.
Fantastic. And Mike, what's happening with Radco? And tell people how they can see your video podcast and how they can sign up to your blog.
Yeah, definitely. And I would echo all of Stephanie's sentiments toward you, Paul. That's quite a milestone to reach 300 episodes. So.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me on. And Stephanie, I would echo the sentiments of speaking with ID is fantastic. So at Radco, we are in growth mode. So right prior to COVID, we were roughly 27,000 apartment homes, and we sold down to 1,200. So as you can imagine, that was quite a whirlwind. But we're on the path of growth again. We're back up over 7,000 units plus or minus, in part because we created a third-party property management forum to keep our core group together. So we have that platform that we're growing. We're also in buy mode, although it's very hard to buy units right now, but we're doing that. And then we're also on the hotel side. We've acquired 13 hotels across the Southeast and down into Florida. So that's really exciting. That's a new business line for us. We don't manage the hotels directly, but we invest in them and asset management. So that's the exciting thing there. You can find me on LinkedIn, and then Multifamily Collective is our website. We have a newsletter, and I do a daily sort of 3 minutes inspiration, motivation, or thought every single day, post that out to YouTube. And then we do something similar to this. We do interviews and post them. Try to do that once a week or once every other week. So that's probably the best place to find me.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you both so much for being on the show today. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.